Okay, everyone. Why am I doing everything today? Good afternoon, and please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. You have it in your bulletins on the first page there at the very top, but of course, as always, I would like to encourage you to bring your own Bible in order to be able to make notes and markings. We're in 1 Peter, thank you, First Peter chapter 2. We're starting in verse 18. While you turn there, I've got a couple of announcements wanted to make. We have missionaries that we sponsor. They are Daryl and Kyle and Benjamin Record. They are in Cambodia, and they have switched to a new organization, missionary sponsoring organization, and they're in the same city, the same church, and they're doing the same ministry. It's just with a different, missionary company. And their explanation is here. This is the Japanese explanation. The English one is online, and if you need it, I could send it to you by email. But this is the Japanese explanation. So if you are a native Japanese speaker and read Japanese, please pick this up before you leave today. So this is that's the announcement for Daryl and Kyle Record. Okay, we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. As is my custom, I like for us to read together. We'll start at verse 18 and go all the way to verse 25. That's the end of the chapter. Let's read together. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. The very word of God. Amen. This is the very heart of the letter that we are studying. We are in a series going through 1 Peter throughout this year. And now we have come to the point where I think Peter wrote this letter. This is to a group of Christians in a certain area that are experiencing prejudice, persecution, malignment, verbal abuse from people around them, whether it's government, whether it's co-workers, colleagues in their workplace, or even in their families, such as their spouse or their parents. And they are being discouraged in their faith. They feel outcast. They feel low, and they feel very dejected and disappointed. And so Peter writes a letter to them to tell them who they are in Jesus Christ. They are chosen and they are precious. That's chapter 2 at the very beginning. And then he's telling them, now I'm going to tell you how to live successfully as a Christian in a world that rejects you. I'm going to teach you what to do, how to follow Jesus when you are under the authority of the government, under the authority of of a bad boss or even an unbelieving spouse. And here we are at the very heart of this. And as I was reading this, I've been reading this for the past few months now, every day. I just read 1 Peter every day just to get it in me and to get it in my life. And this is, to me, the very heart of the letter. Now, as I think about this passage, before we jump into the text, it's very obvious, very easy to apply to your life. But I was thinking, I have had three jobs now as long as I've lived in Japan. I first came with Aeon, the English conversation company, and that's where I met Miwa. She was my former student. And after 4.5 years of doing English conversation, I moved to a Senmongako, a vocational school. I worked there for 5 years. And now I'm at a Catholic junior high school and high school, and been there for, this is my third year. Every single job I've been at, this text relates directly to me and to my everyday experience. And even as I look at my struggles this week at work, I look at this passage and I think God speaks to me through this. So if you are someone who works, someone who is under authority, this relates directly to you. First of all, the first word we find in verse 18, the word is slaves. And I don't agree with this translation. I think it the NIV made not a translation, but a I can't remember. It went too far in their translation. An interpretation, not a translation. But there in the society of the Bible that it was written at the time, there were three kind of levels of society, three castes, if you will. There was the free level, the free caste, and that was the people who were wealthy. They had property, they had houses, they had businesses, and they were rich. And they had servants and slaves who worked for them. Then there at the bottom level was the slave class. They owned nothing. They were allowed to do nothing out of their own free will. They had no businesses. They had no rights. They were less than human in consideration to society. That's the third level. And in the middle level, you had what was called servants. Servants were people who at one point may have been free, but because of maybe debt or bad business or just being poor, they had to work to pay off their debt, to survive and provide for their family. And this was known as the servant class. And that's the word we find in the original Greek of this text. It's the servant, that level. So it's not the bottom level of those who have no freedom, but it could apply. In the modern application of those of us who read it today, it's anybody who has a job. Okay, anybody who has a job, who works in a company or a school or even your own business, and you have somebody that is above you, and that could be anybody here. Even if you have your own business, you have somebody you have to submit to. You could be part of a guild or an organization of business owners, and you submit to them. You could be the principal of a school, and you submit to whoever governs the school system that you're in. Or you could be just another mid-level person who has a boss above you. Now, what Peter is dealing with here is, how do you relate to a boss or a manager or someone above you who just doesn't like you, who treats you badly, who treats you poorly? What do you do in that situation? And I could go on and on and on of all the bosses that I've had, managers that I've had, who just didn't treat me right for this reason or that reason. I was right, they're wrong. They're bad, I'm good, all that. But you know your situation. You know those people above you and around you who disagree with you and who malign you or who have just a bad disposition towards you. How do we deal with them as a Christian? Well, first of all, Peter says in verse 18, the first thing we need to do is submit to our bosses. The masters is the word. Boss is the modern day application. To those who are above us, the posture is, yes. Hai, wakarimashita. Hai, soushimasu. Hai, okay. Yes, I will do it. Yes. They tell me one thing, to do one thing this week. Yes, I will do it. I may feel differently. I may feel bad about it. I may feel not good about it. But they are above me. And in the order that God has ordained, I will follow. And I'll get into this in a minute. Now, they'll tell me to do this thing in 1 week, according to their opinion, according to what they think is right. The next week, they'll tell me to do the exact opposite thing. And not only that, they'll tell me what they did, what I did last week, in obedience to them, was the wrong thing. Right? And they'll just totally switch it up, and I'm thinking, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. And the posture that Peter says is, yes, do it. Obey them. Submit. Why? Well, I got into this a little bit in the last sermon. God is a God of order. God, in His wisdom, has created the physical world according to laws, according to a hierarchy, according to levels of rules. Not just in the physical, but in the societal, civil, relational world that we live in. There is an order. God has placed an authority in the government, and that's what He dealt with in the previous section. Okay? And then there's an order in the business and communal relationships that we have. There is an order in our families that God has placed in His Word. And I'm going to get into that next week as it talks about wives submitting to your husbands. And so number one, what we're looking at is Peter is saying, recognize God in the authorities that He has placed above you. I just read an incredible passage yesterday in my devotion time. If you want to read something that relates directly to this, Romans chapter 12, the very end, and also Romans chapter 13, the first half, talks about God's setting authority in society. And He placed government in His hands to rule over us. And our submission to the government is our submission to God Himself. And our submission to our unruly boss is submission in some form to God Himself. That's the first principle. Now the second principle He's getting into is here, verse 19. It is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. In verse 20, how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. A couple of ideas that I need to work through here. Two things. First, suffering. Suffering. The kind of suffering that's being spoken of here, it says there in verse 19, under pain. Pain of unjust suffering. Pain in this text is not physical beating kind of pain. He'll talk about beatings in a minute. But the pain in this word is mental and emotional trauma or abuse that we experience. It's the kind of pain that we feel in our heart because someone disrespects us or someone talks negatively against us or even somebody just ignores us. We do the right thing. We do the good thing. Nobody sees it. Nobody notices it. And there's a pain that we experience from that. Because who sees it? Oh, but there is someone who sees it. And that comes later. But that's the pain he's talking about. There is suffering. Now, the Bible is not ambiguous about suffering. The Bible is so good that it talks about suffering of every kind. One study that I found showed at least 15 different kinds of suffering that God is showing us in the Bible. A couple of them are here. Let me give you a few examples. One is Adamic suffering. Adam. Adam comes from the word Adam. Adam sinned. We are children of Adam. We are sinners. And as a result of that, there is suffering in the world because of our sin. God punishes sin. There is the justice and the, it's called judgmental suffering. It comes from God judging unbelievers. And so what we find in Sodom and Gomorrah, what we find in the book of Judges, cities being totally destroyed because of sin. And God is said, it's enough of that. I've had enough of the sin and the disobedience. I'm going to judge it, and there's suffering as a result of that. There is, chastisement. There's suffering and judgment for non-believers, but for believers in Jesus Christ, there's no punishment, but there is discipline. And God is not saying what you did in the past is wrong. He's saying what I'm going to do for you in the future, you need to be ready for. And so you're going to go through suffering and difficulty. And the Bible calls it sanctification, so we can be holy. Then there's another kind of suffering that many Christians think is theirs, and it could be true. It's called just suffering. Cause and effect suffering. Reaping and sowing. Basically, you do something wrong, naturally, you have negative effects. You don't make a budget, and you don't spend wisely, you go broke. You cheat on your taxes, and the government finds out, you go to jail. That's just. It's not a punishment from God, it's just the way things work. It's reaping and sowing. You date a non-Christian, you get married, and you have difficulty raising your children. That's just a natural consequence. Okay? That's just suffering. Here, he has unjust suffering. There's called what's called vicarious suffering. There's the kind of suffering that is only reserved for Christians. It's the kind of suffering Jesus received, and that is because of who Jesus is, what he claimed to be. People rejected him. And so for us who follow Jesus, we'll expect the same kind of suffering. Peter says, we're called to this suffering. Let me make this very clear. Christianity does not want you to escape from your suffering. You have problems, you have difficulties, you have disappointments, you have grievances. God is not promising to take you out of your difficulty. God promises instead to take you through your difficulties. And so Christians do not try to escape suffering or try to get out of this mess. But Christians, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are now allowed to get through it with joy and with peace. That's a big difference. I was reading a book, talks about a Buddhist man. He was devoutly Buddhist, and the one thing he loved about Buddhism is that it allowed him to try to deal with his suffering very well. And Buddhism, he said, as he practiced it, was a way for him to relieve his pain. He had physical ailments. He suffered from some kind of a disease that racked his body. And his meditation and his devotion to Buddhism allowed him to relieve the pain. And then he, for some reason, started to study the Christian God. And he noticed something very different about the Christian God than the Buddhist God. And that is, the Christian God wasn't trying to take him out of his pain. Here's what the Christian God did. The Christian God came and suffered for him. The Christian God took suffering upon himself in order to be with us in our suffering. And that's where we find something different with Christianity and every religion in the world, is that God comes to suffer with us in our suffering. And that's where Peter's going to get to. Let me just give you a hint. I just got this. They delivered this to the church, not my house. It's complicated. I ordered this. Me and my wife ordered this. This is the first piece of decoration I've ever bought for my house, other than a picture frame. I don't buy things that I just decorate in my house. I'm not artistic. I'm not interior, okay? People buy things for me to decorate with. I love that too, okay? But I thought, okay, if I want to decorate my house, what would I want to start with? So my wife and I thought, let's get a big, nasty cross, and let's put it in the most prominent place in our house. And if we're going to decorate our house, let's start with this. Because we want people to come to our house as much as often as we can. And the thing that we want people to see is this. We believe in this. This. And I believe in this. Every sermon I preach, every Bible study I want to have, will come to this. Why? Because this is what gives me all that I need to get through my suffering with joy and with peace. It is the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get there in a minute. I just wanted to show it to you because it came here. It arrived here. CLC brought it here. I made a cardboard one, and it's up in my house right now, but now it's the real deal. So the difference between the Christian God and all the other gods is that he suffered with us, and he knows the suffering we have. No other God has that. No other God does that. He suffered with us. Okay, now here's the coolest thing. It says commendable, commendable, right? For verse 19, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain. And it says in at the end of verse 20, this is commendable before God. That word means gracious. Basically, it's saying God looks at your suffering with a good attitude and peace in your heart, and he says, I like it. I like that. Good job. Well done. I took my son this last week to get a yobo seshu, to get a vaccination. And man, he was scared. He was scared. I took him. We were at the doctor, and the doctor says, you have to hold your son, make sure he doesn't move. And he knew what was coming. He knew the needle was going to pierce him. But he was crying. But he said, okay. He said, Daddy, you got to hold me. And so I said, boy, I'm going to hold you. And I'm going to keep you still. And he's squirming because he knows it's coming. It's going to hurt. But he's submitting to my holding him down. And he's just getting it, and it's coming. He's weeping. He's crying. It comes out. And I said, good job. Good job, boy. Because he didn't try to get away from me. He was just bracing himself, and he tried to submit to me holding him down. It was commendable in my sight. God says, when he sees you going through your difficulty, going through your unfair treatment from your boss, your coworker, your relative, and he sees you, and you're giving it up to God, and you're letting God take care of it, and you're saying, God, I'm going to submit for your sake and not mine. I'm going to lay down my pride, my ego, my attitude, and I'm going to follow you through this difficulty. God says, you're doing well. You're doing great. It's commendable in my sight. What a beautiful thing it is to suffer under the power of God. Let's continue. I want to get to the very end here. Verse 21. Why do we do this? Why do we go through this? To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. That's the very heart of it right there, people. If that's your Bible, circle, underline it, mark it, whatever you got to do, stars, all, highlight it, everything. This is your calling, brother and sister. This is your mission. It's your job. It's a vocation to suffer. Because Jesus took it upon. Jesus said, look, if you want to come after me, you pick up your cross. And you follow me every day. You're called to suffer. So that's why Peter says you can rejoice now. If you understand, oh, I see, God wants me to go through this. I'm free to go through this. And there is joy. It's glorious. And I know it's hard. And it's backwards for us. Because as a human being, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. If you ignore me, I'm going to ignore you back. If you insult me, I'm going to give you the cold shoulder. If you hurt me in any way, I'm going to make sure that you get your comeuppance too. That's my human nature. And so God turns me around. He gives me a new birth into a living hope, makes me a new creation, and says, now I look at suffering and injustice and hurt in a different way. I can rejoice because it's a good thing, because God called me to it. Thank you, God, that I have an unjust boss. Thank you, Jesus, that this boss is making me go crazy because I'm learning about Jesus. I'm learning about the cross. Thank you, Lord, that these people are treating me the way they exploit me. They've lied to me. They've ignored me. Thank you, God, that I now understand what you went through on the cross, Lord Jesus. On the cross, Lord Jesus. On the cross. Jesus was on the cross. And on the cross, back in the day, when they crucified you, they didn't crucify you way up high. Actually, they crucified you at eye level. So that when you hung there, people who were walking by could look you in the eye and can spit in your face. They can slap you. They can insult you. Right at eye level. Many times you're naked. Jesus had received a flogging. He was Isaiah chapter 53 says he was just bruised beyond recognition. You couldn't even recognize it was Jesus. Beard torn out, crown of thorns, blood all over his face, back just ripped wide open, hanging on the cross, people just insulting him. Many people who were crucified, because of their insults, they would insult back. They would try to spit back. They would try to urinate on people as people walked by. It says, what does it say? Verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. I need to close on this. This is just, it goes too far. But this is Peter going back to Isaiah 53. If you want cross references, Romans chapter 12 and 13, and also Isaiah chapter 53. This is all Isaiah 53. But I need you to circle that there. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Please look, again, the NIV, I didn't like how it did this. He entrusted himself, it says. Yeah? In the original Greek, it doesn't have himself, okay? And in other translations, it says he entrusted himself. It doesn't have that. And I think that's important. Okay? It just says, he entrusted to him who judges justly. He entrusted what? Everything. He entrusted his enemy to God who judges justly. That's why he didn't retaliate. He entrusted the insults and the abuse to him who judges justly, okay? And he entrusted himself, his own justification. This is so big. This is the reason why we can submit ourselves. Because no other person who is not a Christian can do this. This is just impossible. If you go to the Middle East and you tell people to turn the other cheek, to forgive your enemy, to love those who persecute you, to bless those who hate you, they will be angry with you. That's not justice. That's not right. You should not tolerate. You should never forgive those who hurt you. But Jesus says, how can you do this? How is it that you can forgive your enemy? How is it that you can even love your enemy? Give them something to eat when they're hungry. Give them something to drink when they're thirsty. How can you do that? Because you believe in hell. You believe in hell. If there is no hell, it's on you. You can fight back. Because no one else will do it for you. If you believe in hell, if you believe in a God who judges every little insult, abuse, malignant towards you, you can forgive. You can forgive. Why? Because that's what he did for you on this thing. God deals with everything, every sin, every insult, every hurt in two ways. In two ways. This is one of them. He took all of the sin, all of the hurt, and put it on his Son. And for those of us who believe in the Son, we receive God's forgiveness. But the other way God deals with every sin, every abuse, every hurt is hell. Because he judges justly. He judges justly. I put him here. I hurled my insults at him. I murdered God's Son. It says what? In verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Our sins. It's your sin that put him here. God deals with your insults, your abuse, your hate, your crime on this cross if you believe in him. But if you don't believe in him, please understand, God will deal with your sin, your hate in hell. That's the message of this word. And that's why we can forgive. Because he forgave me. He loved me. What did Jesus do on the cross? He didn't hurt people. What he did, he saved the guy next to him. He said, yeah, okay, I'm going to forgive you, and together we'll be in paradise. What did he do on the cross? People were spitting at him, hurling insults at him. He said, Father, forgive them. Because he was able to entrust everything to his Father. Oh God, give me this wisdom to entrust it all to you so that I can forgive everybody. Submit to your abusive boss. Submit to your uncaring, nasty, maligning manager. Submit. Forgive those who have lied to you. Forgive it. Love your parents who are against your faith. Love them. Bless them. Pray for them. That's the message of this week. Because you can in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive me, and thank you, Lord, that you give me the power to forgive and submit. That's our word for the day. I'm going to ask Edmund to come on up, get us ready for the end. And please bow your heads, close your eyes. Meditate for a moment with me. Heavenly Father, I ask those here who are suffering unjustly from bad bosses, managers, company executives, even the people next to them are treating them the wrong way. I pray, God, you give us, including me, the grace to suffer well. To suffer well, Lord. Not just to suffer well, but to forgive and to love, Lord. This is what we ask for. I pray, Father, for those here, oh God, if there's anyone who does not know you, Lord Jesus, as a Savior from sin and death, I pray that you would give us the faith to repent and turn to you for salvation, saving us from the wrath of God and from hell. Father God, I pray that you give us the power this week to suffer well, to give you glory in our suffering and in our submission. For this we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.